Okay, so this is session 11 in Belong, and it's the New Kingdom. So welcome home. That is your new home in the Kingdom of God. You have been rescued, returned to your real home, and placed safely under the authority and reign of the King of all kings and the Lord over all lords, our Savior, King Jesus. You are no longer a citizen of the Kingdom of Darkness, where a false king rules, and have illegally set up his reign over you and others. The kingdom of darkness that you have been rescued from was set up for the sole purpose of bringing about your destruction. That evil kingdom rules by disrespect, dishonor, and chaos. As a new citizen, God has given us the Holy Spirit to help, because you do not know what you do not know. Much of your thinking will still be from the corrupt system of the world, and must be abandoned. He is your counselor, teacher, and mentor. As the Holy Spirit renews your mind, He will reveal to you areas that you are still in agreement with in that system. He will use the Word of God to cleanse you from unrighteous thinking. As a citizen, you have potential, purpose, privileges, and duties. We will briefly look at your citizenship. You will continue to grow as you search out and learn what God has given you in the kingdom. Before we can discover how we fit in, we need to discover what God has already established. We should understand what the kingdom of God looks like. When we pray and ask the Lord to bring His kingdom to the earth, we should be able to recognize it when He does. Otherwise, we could unknowingly be working against it. What is included in the kingdom of God and what is not? So then here's the kingdom structure. So the kingdom of God is the all-encompassing governing system designed and ruled over by God. The church is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit as He abides within all who are the body of Christ. The kingdom of God is distinct from the church, yet includes the church and is created through the church. Within the kingdom of God, there are three subsystems. There's the economic, which is marketplace, the social and civic, and then the political and legal system. The church reveals God's systems to those who are in His kingdom. Kingdom citizens are not of this age, but of the age to come, when God's kingdom will be entirely manifested on the earth. Until then, we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we live as citizens of God's kingdom according to His dictates and principles. These principles are to be displayed by the church. Hopefully that includes you. In the arenas depicted, the following should help you be captivated by solid kingdom living principles with a fully committed heart, a sound mind, and a pure spirit. Use the discussions to help guide you in living as foreigners passing through, because we are members of God's kingdom on the earth. We hope to help you draw biblical conclusions and spirit-led direction as you prayerfully consider them. So here's some questions to keep in mind as we are going along. Is my understanding of secular and sacred the same as God's kingdom view? Am I receiving full provision as a subject of the king? Am I accessing my full potential as a kingdom citizen? So the first part we're going to touch on is the church. From the church flow redeemed individuals who normally join together and create families. Family join together and create the community. So then community creates the three systems, which is the law and government, which politics and policy fall under that. And then the foundation is land ownership. Then the next thing is the civic and social systems. And what falls under that is the foundation is the family structure, which is entertainment, charity, communication, media, recreation, medicine, and education. Then next thing is the economic, which is business, and its foundation is farming. Land ownership and farming are very biblical precepts. So just study those out to find out what the Bible says about land ownership and about farming. So God's people are given land to be landowners, which equals freedom. All human authority is seen as coming from the king. So Jesus, He's a prophet, a priest, and a king. As the high priest, He's the reconciliation for the church. As the prophet, He is messenger the revealer of God, and as the king, the government of peace is upon his shoulders. The church restores individuals to the natural and to the nature and purposes of Christ. Families are also healed and restored. They become communities. The governing system they have operated by as a family comes out of the homes they live in among many families. When they create a system they have confidence in and agree upon. We know these systems as a government. An example is for the U.S., the first written document agreeing upon a government was the Magna Carta from the Pilgrims colonizing the New World. The function of the government is to meet the needs of the common good of its citizens. While men forge many forms of government, the kingdom of God is the only system that has stood the test of time and culture shifts. It continues because God who authored it continues. Men have dubbed terms to divide God's kingdom into parts. The attempt is to divide systems into sacred and secular, the church and state. It is a struggle that can be seen throughout England's history as well as Israel's struggles for power, pushed and wobbled from king to church over centuries. That struggle launched our nation. Western culture has begun to act as though the two don't mix, but this is contrary both to scripture and even our nation's original moorings. Instruction is given to the purpose and code of conduct for every area of government in Holy Scripture. Whether men acknowledge it or not, the church rules and reigns over all. Nations rise and fall. God and his church will remain until he decides to remove the church. Mike, you want to read?
Thessalonians 2:7, the secret power of evil is already working in the world, but there is one who is stopping that power, and he will continue to stop it until he is taken out of the way.
The one stopping the evil is the Holy Spirit manifesting through the church and producing the kingdom of God. It does not view our activity as sacred or secular. However, there is a division that God acknowledged in Scripture, and that is between good and evil. Evil is the only thing that the church is separated from. The church has been severed and set apart from evil, not governing or influencing culture. It is absurd to believe that the church is not to influence the kingdom of God. So then the next thing we're going to touch on is secular and sacred. It is vital that we understand what was separated or set apart by Jesus. Did he intend for there to be division in the body along the lines of sacred and secular? Did he even mean for government, education, economic, and civic affairs to be off limits to the Christian? Did he mean for the church to now exercise its authority in these areas? Jesus stated that he came to divide, but did he mean the kingdom of God was to be disenfranchised from the earth and humanity? Here are some scriptures to meditate on. Okay, so we'll start. Each of y'all read two.
Okay. Matthew 12:25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. 1 Corinthians 10:26, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
Revelation 5:10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Psalm 47:8, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne.
Proverbs 8:15, by me kings
reign,
and rulers make law that are just. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
All right, Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory.
Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. 2 Timothy 4, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear.
So in Luke 14, the king invites a landowner, a farmer, and a married man to the great feast. These three men represent three systems. They refuse. They secularize themselves. Then those willing to be sacred are invited until the banquet is full. But the secular will want to be included. All three systems are here. There's just the landowner, the farmer, and the married man. Okay, so the married man, first level of social authority. Okay, so there's family. There's two subs. There's social systems of civic and education. And then there's the farmer, the first level and foundation of every marketplace. So there's economy, hunting, farming, manufacturing, and retail. And then there's landowner, first level and foundation of all, public authority. There's government and serves the people. So in Luke 14, 15 through 28, 24.
Sorry.
Which is the parable of the great banquet.
All right, Luke 14, 15 through 24 reads, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and to the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of these who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.
So in this parable, those in the three systems secularize themselves by refusing fellowship with the king. They put their receiving from the system above God who created and sustains them. And so then those who are not part of those systems are invited in. They became the sacred. When anyone puts their priorities in line with the commands of God, they will find greater blessings than could ever have been gained from the world that has separated itself from God. So seek first the kingdom of God, then all. The scripture says everything will be added to you if you seek him first. Men and women of the church now have specific duties or callings in the kingdom. The church is part of the kingdom that births new citizens, sets the standards, ordains, sanctions the heart of the kingdom. Anyone want to read Luke?
Sure. Luke 4:17-19. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Isaiah 61. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
That's the scroll, the part of the scroll that he went to was Isaiah 61.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppression, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
So citizens enjoy the law of the land, God's promises or the law. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Who is the recipient in this passage? It's those who love the Lord. That's your part. So do you love the Lord? I do. Are you called according to his purposes? What? That's God's part. It's up to him, and he has already made his decision. He wrote it in his word. As you read it, you will discover you are called to duty. So what is your duty? Your calling is unique to you. No one else can fulfill it. You may have many turns as you pursue it. More than likely, your calling will involve you taking dominion of some sort in one of the areas or arenas we already mentioned and entering that into the kingdom. When kings reigned in Europe, the king owned all the land. Permission was granted to some to rule over areas and manage the property. The kingdom of God is also this way. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Jesus never went anywhere where the property owner was not in covenant with him. The tomb of Joseph of Arimathea was his resting place. The colt that was tied out of Jerusalem, he said, the Lord has need of it. We have allowed a subtle enemy to come and rob us of what belongs to God. A house divided cannot stand. So then the next part is pursue a greater purpose. Which is, whose turn? Hannah?
Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey nothing I have commanded you all. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
This passage is often referred to as the Great Commission. Just as in a natural family, the older children teach and care for the younger, the scripture encourages the same pattern for the Christian. Do you demonstrate God's favor upon you as others hear and obey God's word through your influence? The primary activity of God rewards is based upon your becoming someone who makes disciples. So be a disciple maker as you. Disciple yourself, you disciple your family, then your church and your village. So you go to the lost and you show them how to find their way to new life. Jesus commanded his disciples to go.
He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Now the empowering takes place in the book of Acts.
Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth."
Now, because you have the Holy Spirit in full power, you will be led by God to help lead others to come into the kingdom through this saving knowledge. You too will lead others in the new birth and help them find acceptance that comes from the new family. You will find your place in the body of Christ, that is the church. You will soon do your part so that the church continues to be the arm of the Lord to bring the lost away from the gates of hell. You also will help teach them and train them as the Lord directs. Lena, you want to read 21? Luke 21, 12 through 19.
But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, turning you over to the synagogues and prisons, and bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be a time and an opportunity for you to testify about me. So make up your mind not to be prepared beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you skillful words and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. Is that a word? But you will be betrayed and handed over even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be continually hated by everyone because of my name. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls.
Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture he told them. This is what is written, that the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and
repentance
for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high.
So people who are bent on getting flattery from people block their ability to receive from God.
John 5:44. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God?
His people know the voice of Jesus and will not follow another.
John 10:1-5. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice.
Philippians 2:9-11. For this reason also, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
As a person in the kingdom of God, we must understand the laws of God and his plans flow through the people into the marketplace, the government, and family in all of humanity's systems. There is no separation. A calling of God may be to minister within the church or to a place in the market, the government, or social systems. Your calling is your responsibility to walk out with the Lord's guidance.